Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This will be the last in the series of Mercy and Grace. Great week last week with the Associate Pastor Sunday. I thought all the men did a very fantastic job preaching. I was excited about that. First Corinthians 15, and I'm going to read to you verse 10, and I want you to read this very, very carefully, and I want you to try to understand what God is trying to tell us through the Apostle Paul. I will give you a foundation here in a moment, but as you read this verse, I want you to understand that God is speaking to you. In the Bible, it doesn't matter who's talking, God wrote it. Doesn't matter who's saying it, God wrote it. Every word, every line, every paragraph, every verse, passage, chapter, book, all has something to do with us. Now, you can try to take some of that out of your life. You can try to take parts of the Bible out, but Jehoiakim tried to do that too, and God just gave him more of it. Amen. So understand this, when he's telling you this, he wants you to see something that you should be very encouraged by. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Can we read that together one more time? But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now I understand that this is Paul speaking. I understand that this is Paul that is doing the talking here. But you must also understand that this is God giving us an eternal word here. His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. I want you to see this verse. This is a powerful verse. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. I want you to see that because one of the greatest graces that God gives us is making us who we are. Now you must understand something. What you brought to God, and I'll give you a foundation in a second, but I want this to pertain to you. You must understand that the Bible pertains to you. You must understand that this word pertains to you. Don't look across the room at somebody else and say, this obviously is meant for them today. This obviously is speaking more of them. No, no, this is speaking of you personally. You say, I'm not good enough. I'm not wise enough. I'm not smart enough. Then you're blaming God for making a mistake. Now, wait a minute. God says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm not a professional football player. I am what I am. I'm not Popeye the Sailor Man who says, I am what I am. I am David Ballard. And it was the grace of God that made me thus. Amen? Now, I want to talk to you just for a moment about the chapters leading up to this. The chapters leading up to this, talking to the church of Corinth, telling them that they're so interested in spiritual gifts. They're so interested, what did God make me to be so I can show everybody? Now, wait a minute. I'm not saying you do not have spiritual gifts. I believe everybody does. I believe if you would look in your life, God has given you the ability to do something that nobody else really is as good at as you. Okay? I believe God has given you the ability. And let me tell you, I'm not saying you're using your ability. I'm just saying God gave you it. And let me tell you why. Don't you think it's interesting God made us all different? Aren't you glad, by the way, that God has made us all different? Every single last one of us are different. I don't care how identical the twins are, they're different. And I understand that God has made us all different. And I know he gives you a list here of the spiritual gifts. Looking back in 1 Corinthians 14, he gives you a list of what they are. And throughout the Bible, there's different places where it talks about the spiritual gifts of God. And people will spend months and months and months trying to discern what gift God gave them, because they only list certain ones. So they must fit into this somewhere. Well, I've got to be honest with you. God made us all unique. That leads me to believe that you are unique in what God wants to do with you. Now, understand this. I do believe that God has a master plan, that this is what we ought to do. Yesterday's perfect example. Saturday, what ought you do? You ought to show up and pass out flyers. That's what you ought to do. We ought to go door to door. We ought to witness. But at the very same time, although we take the same message, and although you better take the word of God, I said, you better take the word of God. The person taking it, if it's Coolidge, is taking the word, then it's not me taking the word. The word's the same. Glory to God, hallelujah. Because that way I know that no matter how he's able to lead somebody to Christ, he's got the word with him, and that does the leading. It's not up to my uniqueness. It's not up to my thought processes. It's not up to that. God uses us severally as he will. That's what the Bible says. What a graceful God we have, by the way. He's not asking you to be anybody different. I see Hunter here. Hunter, he's not asking you to be anybody different than Hunter. Isn't that amazing? Son, he didn't go around saying, Hunter, if you'd be more like Pastor Dave, you could do something. Baloney. That's not what it says. It says, the grace of God made you who you are. Now, the grace of God making you who you are does not let you say, I can just be who I am. That is way too confusing at 9:15 in the morning, Brother Dave, or 10 o'clock in the morning. It's just way too confusing. We should still have an aspiration in us to want to be more like Christ. Amen? Christ wants us to be like him. Never says be like Jordan Jones. Although that wouldn't be a horrible thing. He's a good guy. That's not what it says. Wouldn't be a horrible thing to be more like Carl McDaniel. But the reason I want to be like more like Carl McDaniel is because he's more like Christ. When we talk about the spiritual gifts in the Bible, when you're reading about the spiritual gifts in the Bible, you get so crazy and wound up on how we make it a selfish plea. We make it a thing. Well, what has God done for me that I can show Phil? Look at Phil right here. Aha, I have this spiritual gift. When you talk about spiritual gifts in the Bible, it's all talking about the edification of Jesus Christ. It's all talking about God gave you something to use for him, not so you could show off to others. Never in the Bible does it tell you to show off anyhow. It tells you to be about his business. Do what he wants you to do. The problem is we claim a gift we don't have. Somebody say amen to me. We claim a gift we don't have because it's one we really want bad. We think along the lines of, well, bless God, I should be more like Dr. Hiles. No, you should be more like Christ. I can stand there, Brother Bill Turner, I can stand there and think, well, glory to God, if I just start preaching more like Dr. Jim Delischmidt or more like Pastor Skyver or more like, and all those things would be wonderful. I would be thrilled and excited to say, boy, you preach like Dr. Jim. But I don't want to preach like Dr. Jim. I want to preach how Christ wants me to preach. We get so excited about what men have done, and there's nothing wrong with getting excited about faithfulness, a faithful saint, a faithful bus workers. Nothing wrong about getting excited about that kind of thing. But we should have this desire to seek out what God wants us to do. What a grace of God he has given you. I want you to look at this verse one more time. Knowing that the foundation is talking about spiritual gifts and what can we do and how can we serve God, and God has done all these things, I want you to see this. If you look back again at 15, but by the grace of God. Now I want to read the first few verses of this chapter. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand. I want you to notice Paul didn't preach his words. I want you to get this now. You need to understand this. Why am I such a nut about the Bible? Because I believe we're leaving the Bible out. You need to understand that. I think that these people today, in this world today, in this, they're getting so excited about doing things with coffee and making things all a wonderful band up here and everything else. I think they're getting so crazy about it, they're forgetting what saves souls. Look at this now. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you my words. Moreover, brethren, I bought my favorite band to you. Moreover, brethren, I bought you coffee. No, it says I brought you the gospel. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. You stand where? In the gospel. You don't stand in the Baptist church, although I'm all for a local church. And I believe you're flying the right flight if you're in a Bethel Baptist church. But it's the gospel that got you saved, not the church. Which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. Now, I'm sorry, if this doesn't get you to understand that you ought not take an NIV out soul winning, you got a problem. Amen. Get mad at me all you want to. I lost a lot of friends over this, but there's not enough Bible in any of those perversions to get somebody saved. Quit talking about it like you want to make a pact between you and the devil. Says, the devil, I'll tell you what, I'll take your Bible because it's more accepted. Hogwash. I'd rather preach to nobody and believe this. Look at this now. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Even Christ was subject unto the Scriptures. Well, why wouldn't he be? He made the rules. Amen? And that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James and of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me. Well, wouldn't that be wonderful? And last of all, he was seen of me, also as one born out of due time, for I am the least. How can you tell? I want to ask you a question. How can you tell if somebody's using their gift in a spiritual manner or not, or any other manner? Spiritual gift, using it in a spiritual way or in any other manner. And I don't care how you label it, whatever you want to do with it. I want you to notice the attitude. Can you look with me at the attitude of the man that is having the Lord write this for us? Is that not right? Did I say that wrong? I believe that Christ is giving this to us. See, he's so wonderfully graceful. He knows that you're going to have something special. I want you to get this now. This is not talking about you not having a spiritual gift. I believe you all do. And by the way, can you please not anchor your boat to one gift? Why in the world are people so stupid? I can only have one gift, preacher, because it says to one he gives this, to one he gives that, to one he gives this, to one he gives that. I can only be one. Baloney! Why do you believe that? Why do you believe that this, yes, he gives one to this and one to this. But I'm going to tell you right now, he gave to one the ability to do this, one to give the ability to do this, one the ability to do this, then this, then this, then this, then this. Do you think Christ stopped with one? Christ gives us several abilities. He gives us the abilities as we use them and as we put them into our employment for the service of Christ. Now, wait a minute. Looking through these verses, and I tell you not to anchor your boat to one gift, because then you come to a realization you can't do anything else for Christ but what this has. I can sing. So the only thing you do is sing. Uh-huh. See, just because Christ gave you that one gift and you know it, and Christ, by the way, people tell you about it, and it's good. But we're going to get to the attitude here in 1 second. See, Christ has given you something. Don't sit in these pews and think you don't have something from Christ to use for him as a tool to bring people his gospel. Because I want you to notice, the first verses talk about him bringing the gospel. How? In a way that only Paul could. The greatest missionary apart from Jesus Christ that ever walked the face of the earth was Paul. And we have Paul saying, I am the least. I want you to notice the attitude. As you look through these verses, you come to a point where you must agree with me that he has a complete attitude of humility. Why would he have that? Oh, we can go ahead and scratch the surface and say, well, preacher, he has humility because he used to kill Christians. He used to imprison women and children that were Christ followers. He was holding the coats at the stoning of Stephen, preacher. That's certainly why he's the least. Let me tell you something. I've done a lot of bad things in my life too. But there's times I have to remind myself that I too am a sinner. Now when I say that, it should be easy for me to recall that I'm a sinner. Amen. Come on now, stay with me. It should be easy for us to recall that we're sinners. But isn't it amazing how sometimes we forget? Come on, tell me I'm wrong here. I'm going to show you the grace of God in the fact of what he allows us to do. I'm telling you, he's made you who you are, but you are still a sinner. He's given you what he's given you. Through a wall of sin, Christ has reached in and given you something to use for him. What a great God we serve. Through the wall of alcoholism, he reached through and grabbed David Ballard and said, I got something for you to do. I can come to you and act like I'm sinless. And preachers do it all the time. But so do you. I want you to know that you have a wonderful God-given ability that no one else has. We're all unique. But at the very same time, all of us are sinners. And that's why the grace of God comes in here. That's why you need to understand that it's the grace of God, Hunter, that gives you something, son, that no one else has. I don't understand it. I really don't. But he has, son, and what we do with it is what the difference is. Now, he comes to you in this absolute feeling and the thought process of humility, saying, of all these, I am the least. When you've got to be honest, in our eyes, Paul would just about be the most. Amen? I mean, who did more than Paul? Who saved more people, started more churches? With tears, weeping, day and night, he ceased not to warn everyone. There's nobody that's ever walked this earth saving Jesus Christ that has ever done that. I'm sorry. Is there somebody in this room that has cried and talked to every single person they've ever come across, told them about Jesus Christ? Good Lord, I for some reason have Velcro attached to my hand when I reach in for tracks all the time. And I certainly don't go with tears. I believe God has given, I'm just going to bear my heart to you. Nothing has come over my, and it's done it before too. I got to be honest with you, it's done it before. Where the Lord has said, you know what? If you would just become a soul winner. And I'm talking to me now, not talking to you. You take this for what it's worth. Lord said, Brother Dave, if you just become a soul winner, I mean a soul winner, I mean somebody that cares about talking to people about me, if you just do that, I've given the opportunity to preach, I've given the opportunity to become an associate pastor, I've given the opportunity, pulled you out of all this mire and done this, if you would just become a soul winner. You know how many times the Lord has told me that, and I believe he's given me the ability to talk to people. Oh, I don't believe that's a gift that everybody has. The ability to talk, to just stop and talk to somebody. I believe I have that. But how many times have I relegated myself to talk about sports or hunting or anything else and never get around to what really matters? I come to them thinking in the process of they won't receive what I've got anyhow. But then I must remind myself, how did I get it? How did I get it? The grace of God brought it to me through a man named Ron Brown, who, through him, starting a church in a place that ought not start a church, If he does not do what God asked him to do, Ron does not do what God has asked him to do, then God could never have me do what God has asked me to do. So when Paul comes and says, I am the least, then who am I? Coming to the realization that I must have this attitude of humility, it's difficult sometimes to get it. It's difficult sometimes to get to the place where you can actually serve God. It's difficult sometimes to get us to the place where we actually seek God. What would you have me to do? Not what I want to have me to do, but what you'd have me to do. Because according to this verse, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Look at the verse. After that, verse 7, he was seen of James and of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. You say, well, I can take you to places where he did that. But then I must ask myself the question, Pastor Dave, when did you persecute the church of God? Well, I didn't do what Paul said. But if I do not bring the gospel, what am I doing to the church of God? Amen? If you look at these, what we do for Christ, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Then this is where I come to. Is the gift that, or gifts that God has given you, did he give them to you in vain? Because as I look out on the room, I do not see one person that does not have something that God gave them. As I look across this room, I do not see one person that God has not given some ability to. But by the grace of God, you are what you are. We often coin the phrase, but by the grace of God, there go I. Amen? How many times you see some drunkard or homeless person, but by the grace of God, there go I. Let me tell you something, but by the grace of God, you're going where you're going now. But by the grace of God, you are what you are, no matter who you are, when you're doing it, and what you're doing. But by the grace of God. See, but by the grace of God, you do what you do. But by the grace of God, you are what you are. But by the grace of God, the gift is given to you what you have. But by the grace of God, not because you have some marvelous talent, not because you think you are something great, but because of what God has done through your life. Because of what God, and yes, it was God that did it. Because I often hearken back to the verse, in my flesh dwelleth. If in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, and it's ultimately apparent in me, it must be God that has given me anything good. It must be God. Don't deserve it. Certainly haven't earned it. But I have it. And it's from God, not from man. It's from God, not from me. It's from God, not from birth. It's from God. And I don't want the gifts and the work and the joy and the procedure that he's done through me. I don't want that to be in vain. And he's told me several times, I'm telling you, no doubt about it. Maybe he's never told you this, but I know he's told it to me. Man, I wish you was a soul winner. A lot of things you can be. But man, I wish you were a soul winner. And it is what you look at me and say, well, come on, preacher. You tell the people about Christ all the time. I know that. But how many lost do I tell? How many people do I strike up a conversation with about the Lord that I love so, and I do love him. I love God. And let me tell you something. I don't like it when preachers get up here and say, if you don't win souls, you don't love the Lord. That's a lie. You can love the Lord and not win souls. It's not about that. You can love the Lord. You ought to win souls. It's our duty. It's our duty not to be a passive church. It's our duty to be an aggressive church. But more than that, I'm glad that we won. 35 of us won. Praise the Lord. But I needed to be there. Me. I don't care if one shows up. I should be the one. Why? Because everything I have is from him. What a great God we have. Because if you look at your life in the mirror, you're going to come to the realization that you are a sinner. If I look in the mirror, I see sinner. Good-looking sinner, but sinner nonetheless. I see sinner. That's what I see. But when I look a little bit deeper, I see somebody that God has called to do something for him. I watched Annie Davis die, or watched her dying. And I see God using her while she's walking in the valley. Wait a minute now. Come. And what a wonderful testimony that is. Am I going to allow God to use me while I'm not? If that doesn't grab a hold of your heart, I don't know what in the world would. As I watched Miss Mary McDaniel die. Oh, she's walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You almost see Jesus walking with her. Do people see Jesus walking with me while I'm not? Little Miss Mary Reinhardt passed away. Oh, she was the most wonderful person in the whole wide world. You could give her a pile of dirt and she'd act like that was a pile of gold in her hand that you just got. You ever give her something? Good night in the morning. You give her something, it was wonderful. You could give her a receipt and ask her to pay it. And she'd go, oh! I went over to her house one time. I used to clean out her stove in August. She had a little heater. If her house was 500 square feet, I'd be real surprised. She had a space heater in there that literally could probably warm up Portage County. She'd call me in August. Dave, I'm getting cold. Mary, it's August. I know. I'd go over there in August, start cleaning that dumb thing out. I cleaned it out one day, and I pulled out a squirrel. It was a black squirrel. I said, Mary, you got an animal in your chimney. I thought I smelled something. She just kept cooking, praise the Lord. I watched her live her life, her testimony. And by the way, preacher, would you not agree? If there was one person in the whole wide world that had a right to complain, it was Mary Reinhardt. She had nothing. The paint held up her house, and there is no lie about that. We took down her building in the backyard, and I pushed it over. And that's not an exaggeration. Preacher was there. I took a couple 2x4s over, and I leaned on it, and it went down. With tears in her eyes as it goes down, by the way. If anybody in the whole wide world had a right to complain, it was her. Again, there she is in the hospital telling somebody about Jesus Christ. As she's walking through the valley of the shadow of death, she is acting and showing people that she's walking with Christ. The grace of God made her that way. I'm wondering if while I'm not walking through the valley, if I'm willing to show them that I walk with Christ. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Christ has made me something that's unlike anyone else. But will I use what God has given me for Him? He comes to you as the least. If you're going to use what God has given you, you need to hear this, Christian. This is it. This is it. If you're going to use the grace of God that He has given you, you must become the least. Because in weakness is when He becomes strong. And if you'll do that, if you'll come as the least, if you'll come begging, God will use you in ways that you never imagined. Either I walk through the valley of the shadow, I want people to see Christ walking with me while I'm not. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Oh Lord God, you are so good to us. Every person in this room has been given grace by you. And they are what they are because of you. God, you are so good. I don't even know how to begin how good you are. And then, Lord, even when we ignore you, even when we don't do what we're supposed to do, you still love us. You still show us grace. You still give us chances. Lord God, please continue to give us chances. Bless the efforts that Bethel puts forward, Lord, not only as a church whole, but as all of its parts. Bless them. Let them know how absolutely wonderfully special they are. And I'm not talking about how the world uses the word special. I'm talking about how you use the word special. Lord, help us to understand how important we are. Coming to you and you being used by you as the least, through you, you make us the most. So thankful for that. What a graceful God we have. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.